All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing a local podcast. Good morning. April 10th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. Got up this morning. The new, brand new me. Went for a nice walk. Got my bike rack hooked up. I bought this, I don't know if I talked about this. I bought, you know, I have an e-bike, and this bitch is heavy, and it's got a flat tire. I think I did talk about this because I would usually use my trailer. Now I don't have a trailer, so I bought this bike rack, right? This, and if you have an e-bike and you've tried to put it on a regular bike rack, it just doesn't really work. They're very heavy. I can't even hoist this thing up to get it onto a bike rack. I mean, I guess I could, but my God, grease, and it would be a mess. So I bought a new e-bike bike rack. Say that 10 times, right? And really, it's a motorcycle bike rack. And, you know, I ordered it, right? And I come home last night, and there's this giant freaking box leaning against the house. I'm like, uh-oh, what is that? Actually, I knew what it was because I got an email that said, your bike rack has been delivered. And I was like, oh, God. And I remember when I was reading about this thing, this guy wrote something. It was okay. But basically he said, you know, it took me a half an hour to even build the damn thing. And I was like, oh, brother. So I saw this giant box. I'm like, okay. You know, another little test, right? Because that's an inconvenience, right? And I was like, I do not feel like doing this. But this is what I've been doing, right? I've been procrastinating big, medium, small, little things to do. I've been putting everything off. So I came in and we ate, had some dinner, and then I went out and I built it. And it's a huge-ass contraption. I mean, it's perfect. Exactly. You know, I loaded my bike on it this morning. It's perfect. It actually has this cool ramp. That's the hard part, is getting the freaking bike up on there, right? And so this one has, it holds two bikes, and you have this little aluminum ramp that kind of hooks on the end, and you roll the bike up on there. And I put it all together last night, put it on my car, took it out in the street this morning and rolled the bike up on it. And it was a little bit of a pain in the ass. You know, it is for motorcycles, so, you know, a typical bike rack, you might have this stand in between the bikes, right, that you hook on the bike, and it sort of holds it from falling over, but not this one. This one actually takes straps, right? You have to strap it down. And so it was a little challenging. I mean, during the whole process, I'm like, this is a pain in the ass. But it's sort of the solution to the situation because I love, you know, people, e-bikes, need to ride a regular bike. Yeah, well, I like riding my e-bike. I love it. It's like, it gets me all around, right? I could ride a bike. I rode bikes for many years. But this thing is my adventure cycle, right? And, you know, I've shared 100 times, we were down by this awesome trail that led all around the state park, and now we moved and we are not, and the road that we are on is a bit dangerous. So I want to start going back on my adventures, right? I love the adventures. And so this will work. It's perfect, actually. So I loaded up my bike, but now I have a flat tire, so I got to take it down to see my buddy Brian over at Lewis Cycle Sport and get that thing fixed. Paddling at 11:30, super excited about that. Just a great day, beautiful day. Temperature is perfect. It's not really sunny. It's a little overcast, but I don't care. The temperature is perfect. I'm ready. This is, you know, April's a funny month because, you know, March is supposed to get warm, right? March is the savior, and it always lets us down. Not only was it not warm, but man, it rained a ton in March. And so April, come on, April. And I think at this point, at least for our area, right, the mid-Atlantic region, because I was looking over, you know, I still have friends that live in Albuquerque, and their weather's in like the 70s, so they don't care, right? They're not, people over in that part of the country don't relate to what we are going here in the mid-Atlantic, but in the mid-Atlantic, it's a weird spot. So April is hopefully gonna turn us around. I know that it was beautiful the last few days, and I think my wife said it's gonna be nice. The weather's gonna be nice now. I was like, oh, okay. And so here we are, day 3, and it's still really nice, and I'm excited and really need a good beating out on the water. I need to suffer. My buddy that's going through the breakup, unfortunate breakup, he's coming out paddling too. So just really excited. And but I wanted to sit down this morning and just maybe sort of think about what I talked about yesterday. I listened to that podcast, a little toxic, but I think you know, I'm not ashamed of my frustration, right? But I did sort of end that podcast with what can, you know, what's the lesson to be learned here? What is God trying to teach me? What is it that I'm missing, right? What is it that self is blocking? Because self blocks the good lessons, right? And so that's what I've sort of been thinking about this morning. And yeah. And, you know, what's cool about that is, and I've learned that through this program, is that, you know, there always is a lesson, right? Savior, Temple of the Dog, little Chris Cornell. Wish we could have saved him. Damn, wish you got sober, bro. Lost another good one. But that is an amazing band. God, that band takes me back to a day when I was deep into a self-centered addiction like no other, and absolutely having the freaking best time. Right? That's the worst part about, especially that time of my life. That part of my life was a lot of fun, right? I didn't, you know, my drinking was horrible, you know, and I was going to talk about this the other day, but my, you know, back in my drinking days, it was miserable, right? Just drunk, right? Drunk in a, you know, no activity, just in the mud, right? Working a shit job, living in a shit place, putting up with shitty people, right? When you're that bad, when I was that bad, the people that I had to put up with and really had no defense. It was just horrible, right? When I get that way, when I am that way, when I was that way, all bets are off, right? I don't have a leg to stand on. I am just a piece of garbage. And but back in those days, right, the Temple of the Dog days, that was San Diego. And man, you know, it is, I am so thankful, right? I'm definitely grateful I'm not a drinking, but I am so grateful that I am not doing that drug, because that bitch will take you right into hell in a golf cart. And I don't want that, right? You know, I think I might have started to do a podcast about this one day and just never finished it. But, you know, I am, you know, I could cover all bases, right? I am an addict, I'm a drug addict, and I'm an alcoholic, right? And I have gone to NA meetings. And, you know, I think back in the day, it was really strict, right? You definitely did not want to bring up drugs in an AA meeting. I don't think there's a rule that you shouldn't bring up alcohol in an NA meeting, but there's definitely sort of an unwritten rule. You know, we keep this about alcohol, right? And, I think we all figured it out, right? If a person's an ex-heroin addict, there's not much I can do as far as understanding, right? Because I've never been a heroin addict. But I do know that in the end, right, it's about surrendering, right? Regardless of what your shit is, you got to surrender. You got to find a God and you got to turn it over, right? And you got to start, you know, working a program. And I've gone to NA meetings and I just did not, which is so funny. I just didn't fit in. Isn't that weird? And I'm 100% a drug addict. I'm a meth enthusiast. Maybe that's a better term because for some reason, right, I just did not fit in to NA. And that's all me because NA is great, right? I always think it's funny. I've said this before, I think. You know, there's this meeting that I used to go to on Friday nights, and AA has a meeting there at 8 o'clock. And then NA would have a meeting there at 8 o'clock on Wednesdays. And at 8 o'clock on Mondays when I would go, all the alcoholics park facing north. I don't know. Right? I don't know. All the cars, you drive by there, if you're in there, the cars all face north, right? There's some idea that pointing your car towards the building is the solution. And when you go by there on a different night, when it's an NA meeting, all the cars point west, right? So they park parallel to the building, and which either way is fine. I just think it's so funny that, you know, two different meetings park differently, right? Anyway, but like when I went to NA, I just, for some reason, it was too much fun. It was a real social event, and I needed a little more misery, I guess, in my life. And so I don't know why, you know, and people were finding more and more and more and more, really, a lot of cross-addicted people, right? Back in the 50s and 40s and 30s, right? You might have done a little heroin, but a lot, you know, most of those people were really battling alcohol, I think. Actually, what do I know? I'm just assuming, right? But over time, right, as more things have come along, marijuana and obviously drugs and now all the drugs that are out there, it's hard to find somebody that only drank, right? Mostly old timers, I would imagine. But, you know, but it's a disease of self, right? It doesn't really matter what it is you do. It's just finding the people that can relate to the struggles that we've been gone through and the path, hopefully, to recovery. And so for some reason, like, I just didn't fit into NA. And I went to NA when I first, you know, back in, I don't even know, 95, maybe. I was, I tried to get sober, sort of. I think I got caught again, right? I think I was, I don't know, whatever I did. And, you know, the big talk, right? Living room talk, family all around, the intervention, so to speak, right? And the solution. And one of them was go to this NA meeting and ask for this guy. And I can't even remember his name. And I don't even think he's alive anymore. But go find this guy. He's the man, right? He's the man of recovery. He's the guru, right? As I've been talking about. And when I met him, he sounded like a guru. And I remember thinking, this guy is a freaking guru, right? This guy is it's a cult leader, right? But the stuff that he was talking about and you know, his path to recovery and the real journey and the realization that it isn't really about the drugs, it's about us and the disease of self, right, and all that. I'm like, what is this guy talking about, right? This wishy-washy banana bullshit. And then I left that con- and I, you know, I did go to an NA meeting, right? And I remember everybody's having a good time and hooting and hollering, and it was like a social event. I mean, it was recovery, right? And I'm not trying to disrespect NA because I appreciate NA, but for some reason, it also had a lot to do with that I didn't want to get sober, right? I was having to, right? It was the act of saving my ass. And but I just felt like I didn't fit in. And but I remember talking to the guy and thinking, man, this guy's really fucking, he's hook, line, and sinker. And but that's what happens, right? When you talk to a person that has some sort of recovery, that has worked a program, right? Because early on, you know, and I've said this, you know, I just got caught too much. And that's really how I labeled myself. Happy addict that gets caught too much, right? And it's not that the problems that I bring my family and all the people, it's just that I get caught too much, right? If it wasn't for that, everything would be fine. And, but, you know, when you come into a program, you start to learn, right? We admit, right? We go through all that stuff. And so, you know, I'm thinking, I'm just thinking this morning. I got up, went for a walked a couple miles, and just sort of reflecting because, you know, I do want to know. You know, I've been listening to RFK, you know, and he did this put out this video about the transformation that he went through. And he talks about this, where is the lesson, right? Even the good stuff, what's the lesson, right? Because there's always something to learn. The lesson isn't always all, do that again and you will reap the rewards, right? You got to find some humility in there, right? And so I've just been trying to figure out what the lesson is for me. And I guess if I'm going to just get super simple, right, it's mind my own business. Mind my own business. Who doesn't like to mind their own business? Self doesn't, right? Talk to somebody that isn't working a program, and one thing you notice probably right away is the person's probably in other people's business, right? That was one of the first things that I had to fix, right, is cleaning up this 100-mile radius around me that I couldn't, you know, I was worried about everything around me, right? 100-mile wide, concerned about all this different shit, and no focus on myself, right? No focus on trying to make me get better. And that's what the steps started doing for me early, is trying to figure that. But that was one of the things that I was told. Mind your own business, right? Stay in your lane. And that's fine. I try to stay in my lane. If I pay attention to somebody, I always try to pay attention to somebody at the success, right? I love, you know, I talked about my buddy. I won't say his name, but he's a guy that, you know, he's a perfect example of what this sort of situation is. And it's, you know, these same guys going to these same small meetings, right? Two meetings a day, right? 30 years and you go into two meetings a day, right? Because it's just a social event, right? You have nothing else to do, right? And so they do all these meetings, and this guy was just like that. And he would say, I just woke up one day and didn't want to drink. And as far as I'm concerned, that's good, right? I'm good, right? So I don't really feel like I even need these steps. He would say that. He would say that in a meeting, and I thought that was it used to frustrate me because I think it's a shitty message, right? Regardless of what you think, right? We're here to get sober, so the message should always be work, get a sponsor, work the steps, work with the big book, go to a lot of meetings, right? Everything going towards recovery, not I don't need these steps, and so maybe I don't. Maybe you don't either, right? Because I can tell you when the story gets boiled down from what happened to what self has kind of translated it into, it's always different, right? I've talked about getting my ass absolutely kicked, right? Bleeding, a huge cut in my lip. Oh, the embarrassment and shame. So embarrassed I got sober, right? I was so ashamed and embarrassed, I went and got sober to avoid talking and showing my face to my friends and coworkers the next day. That was my out, right? That was the way that I could avoid the reality of my situation was, I'll just go get sober. I'll go hide in a hospital, right? And that's exactly what I did. And, you know, anything I can do to avoid the embarrassment. So what happens is you see, you know, I see a lot of these guys that come in and they don't work these steps, right? And it's a, you know, it works, I guess. But if that's the solution that they're going to do, they should really just keep that to themselves, right? Because self wants to brag about it. I don't even need these steps, right? And, you know, and 100 times many people have said it. Do we need them? I don't know, right? It's like we've said, you choose how happy you want to be. And my buddy, who was just a guy that didn't drink, right, didn't need these steps, used to say it, used to drive me nuts, you know, started listening, right? And I would share things. And listen, I'm no guru, but I've worked these steps, and I find the benefits from them. Beyond my wildest dreams, things have started happening in my life. And I can't help but share them, right? You know, what I came in here for and what I've ended up so different, this life of free of fear. But I share about it, and I talk about how these steps have worked in my life and continue to work in my life. And he comes up to me and goes, you know, I appreciate what you say, right? I appreciate it. And it's making me think about, is there more to just not drinking, right, and going to meetings, right? You have a lot of people that'll admit they have an alcoholic, or they admit they have a problem, and then they do that two-step, and right, they admit it, and then they do the 12-step. They want to help everybody, and they just go to meetings. But they do not, unfortunately, work for the – and it's to each his own again, right? But there is something that happens, and my buddy's like, you know, and then once that he said that, he's been reading these steps and working these steps. He's reading Drop the Rock. He's learning about all of these things, right? Just the act of saying out loud in a meeting, I don't think I need these steps. I don't think they do anything. That's character defect, right? Because you should refrain from that. Well, actually, I don't know. Maybe is that a character defect? I mean, it's a character defect if you're trying to promote sobriety, I would suppose. But is he being honest? I mean, that's true. But does he need to say that? I don't know. Maybe in his mind, that's true. But so I don't know if it's a character defect, right? Says the truth, what he feels. I don't know. But there are things that you just don't have to say, right? And I'll let him figure that out. But the fact is that, you know, he started working these steps and started looking at them, right? You know, we don't have to come here as a person that is a beat up alcoholic and these steps are going to make me a better, fix my, the dents and shit, right? This isn't about, I mean, I think when I came in for here to the program, it was about, you know, I don't even know what it was about, to be honest. I don't know why. I just said why. I came in here to avoid seeing my friends, right? And I just held on, right? I ended up in this after program for a year and just went to a lot of meetings. And I was pretty bummed out, right? I was pretty darn down and in the dark and, you know, had always wasn't. And this is just going to be, I guess, self-centered memories, right? Because I don't remember myself being that sad about it, right? But I also think that I just become sort of used to that. And maybe I didn't have any, I couldn't make a very good exception or expectations. But I remember when I started to feel, you know, that day, I drove home that first day, driving home, not drunk. It really hit something, right? There was a real, you know, and we all, you know, the pink cloud, right? And I think that for me, the pink cloud is just an introduction to what life is like having a relationship with a higher power, right? I drove home and I wasn't afraid. The biggest fear I had was drinking and driving, getting pulled over and killing somebody, right? Actually, I mean, the biggest fear I had was drinking and driving, getting pulled over, killing someone and spending time in jail. That's what I was concerned about. I probably didn't really give a fuck if I hit somebody, right? I mean, I'd say, oh my God, but how much jail time do I get, right? That's the inconvenience, right? That's what self-centered is. It's like, how much jail time? But, you know, I remember driving home that night and just this wonderful, comfortable place. And that was my first, I think that night was my first, I think God visited me. And or I removed all the self-centered fear and just was present, right? Be still and be present. And that night I was still and I was present and it felt good. And, you know, I would drink after that, right? So who knew? I didn't know what I was really getting to. But over time, right, we start to get it. And it's so cool to see, like, my buddy you know, start to get this. And then, you know, he talks about it in the meetings, right? And now my buddy, right, who didn't need these meetings, didn't need these steps, right? He's starting to talk about the steps, right? He's starting to sound a little like a bit of a guru, right? Because he's experiencing the magic. And I, you know, if I haven't expressed this enough, please let me express it right now. Working these steps in a humble, with a humble heart, and the learning that we do about who we are, what we are, and what we can be through these steps and the process is a fucking miracle. It's a miracle. It's magic in its finest form, right? It is some magical stuff and nothing that I ever expected, because I was taking care of me, right? And I didn't even know what I wanted, right? I came in here, I didn't even know what I wanted. Didn't even know. And so it's great. And you, You know, so what's the message? God, what is the message, man? What is it? What is it? What is it? So if I'm going to be, if I'm, so what happens, you know, when I get caught up in this shit, I absolutely let go of the hand of God, right? And so what am I afraid of? Why would I react? Because I only react when there's fear, right? I'm only, my behavior shows up when fear shows up. And, you know, part of me is like, you know, I like to share, right? I think we all, well, I like to share, right? I like to do work. I like to work these steps, and I like to share, especially in that room, right? There's a couple of great, couple guys doing some great recovery, but there is a, it's a, you know, it's early recovery. It's an early recovery place, right? And so, I want to be able to share what I've learned, right? I don't want to say, listen, you got to learn this, but learning what I've learned and sort of trying to get this message out that it isn't really about not drinking again. It's about not being afraid, right? It is about not drinking. Once we get past that point, right, there's this other place, this serenity, right? Nobody talks about it. And so maybe I'm afraid because that's what I felt at that meeting is I can't share tonight because now anything I say, right, is going to seem outlandish, right? Anything I say is going to feel like a know-it-all. And who doesn't like a know-it-all? Somebody that doesn't know at all, right? Somebody that doesn't know anything, shut that guy up. And that's how I felt. And so, yeah, I guess. So what do I say? All right, so don't share. Or who cares? Keep sharing, right? You got to keep sharing. You got to put the message out, right? Because one person that doesn't like it can't stop because, like, you know, sharing my experience and strength and my hope, right? And that's my other friend came over and was like, you know, I really appreciate that, right? So helping one guy, pissing off another guy, and then frustrating myself. What a mess, right? But I will say this. Listen, I am going to start. I am not a guru by far. I am not. I don't write a book. I do this podcast. The podcast is silly. It's fun, for fun, right? But this is no, you know, there's no, I'm not a leader, right? I'm a follower. I'm one of us, right? Well, just like the rest of us. But I've been doing this, you know, I came in 97, drank after 5 years, got back, struggled for a year, got back, changed my sobriety date after 2 years for pills, and just celebrated, you know, 15 years, right? It's been 17 years since I've had a drink, 15 years clean and sober from all drugs and alcohol. Back out after five. I mean, I've really ran the gambit on this fucking program and trying to get to the place where I'm at. And I can tell you, when I came in, I had no expectations that I would end up at the place that I'm at today. And so honestly, I should share my story, right? Because I remember coming into this program, we had the old timers. We had the people that sat around the edges, and they were a tough crowd back then, right? You know, they would call my buddy out and tell him, shut his mouth. Shut your mouth, right? You're not, go, what step are you working, right? You're not. You're not working a step. But there's nobody that does that today, right? It's just a, it's like a free-for-all, and that's fine. But, you know, I have to be careful because I can get in my head about it. And I don't want to do that, right? I like being sober, and I like sharing my experience, strength, and hope. And I don't want to be a guru, but damn it, I'm also going to share what I have to share, and I'm not going to feel bad about it. And so the message I'm getting today is just stay in your lane, Tom. Don't worry, right? Stay out of the reviews, right? It's a one-way lane. There's nothing coming down, right? Just focus. Be grateful, right? Be grateful. I love this guy. Still, I always love him. But I'm going to have to, I think I'm going to have to change that meeting. I'm going to have to go to the 6:30 or the 6 or something, because I just, you know, or I'll go back. I don't know. We'll see. But I think the message is just don't mind your own business, Tom. Don't worry about it and stop making shit up. Cause it's also partly what I might be doing too is like, he didn't say me and he might've been talking about, because he said this before and he may have been talking about somebody else. And maybe I'm sharing too much. That could also be. Sometimes I have to shut up, right? And that's the other thing at that meeting. It always feels like there's a certain same people that share, my one friend shares, and I share, then another person shares. It's like the same stupid routine. And I just need to mix it up, I guess. But stay in my lane and yada, yada, yada. All right, let me read the Daily Reflections. Daily Reflections. Save me, Daily Reflections. I'm so excited. I'm going out paddling. Looking forward to it. Oh, growing up. Here we go, April 10th. The essence of all growth is a willingness to change for the better and then an unremitting willingness to shoulder whatever responsibility this entails. Yeah. The essence of all growth is a willingness to change for the better and then an unremitting willingness to shoulder whatever responsibility that entails. Yeah. This is a growing experience, right? Stay in my lane. Oh, man, my buddy just texted me. 9 months sober today. Thanks for your help. Thanks for the help along the way. Excuse me. Thanks for the help along the way. And he helps me. I'm not helping him. He's helping me. We're helping each other, right? This is not a – I'm not a guru. love that guy. All right. As Bill sees it, page 115. Sometimes when I've become willing to do what I should have been doing all along, I want praise for recognition – or praise and recognition. I don't realize that the more willing to act differently, the more exciting my life is. The more I am willing to help others, the more rewards I receive. That's what practicing the principles means to me. Fun and benefits for me are the willingness to do the actions, not to get me immediate results. Being a little kinder, a little slower to anger, and a little more loving makes my life better day by day. Absolutely. That's, you know, that's a great message because I don't have to be affected, right? I made the choice to get affected by the situation. I could have just said, don't worry about it, right? But I chose to wallow into the mud and got all dirty and then was pissed that I was dirty. So I need to do better. I appreciate you letting me share. I hope everyone has a great day, and we'll catch you later. Bye.